Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to come together and and worship you. Thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we know you're always with us. You walk through each day with us, meeting our needs, guiding us, protecting us. We're so grateful that we have such a loving God, a loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, this is Mother's Day, and we especially thank you for the mothers that you've blessed each of us with. And we know that apart from them, our lives would be so drastically different. Thank you for the influence, the input, the dedication that they have shown to each of us in raising us. And we're grateful that we have that wonderful relationship that you've blessed us with through our mothers. We pray that this would be a special day for them as they celebrate and as we celebrate them. Father, we thank you that you are such a good God and that you are working your good plan in each of our lives. And I pray as we study your word together this morning that your Holy Spirit will teach us the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to listen to what you have to say and that we would desire to put it to practice in our life. We know that the Holy Spirit who indwells us will help us understand your word and then help us apply it to our lives. And I pray as the children are doing the VBS program, Lord, that you will speak to them and just encourage them, guide the leaders as they work with them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I do again want to say a happy Mother's Day to all of you moms here this morning. Thank you for all that you have done in the lives of your children. I found some quotes about mothers that I wondered if you moms maybe would be able to identify with. One says, telling a mom not to worry is like telling water not to be wet. Another one says, a mom's worry, it changes but never disappears. Another one says, I will never stop worrying about you because I'm your mom. Moms never stop worrying. It's our job. Another one says, mothers don't sleep. They just worry with their eyes closed. The very fact that you worry about being a good mom means that you already are one. A worried mother does better research than the FBI. And being a mom to big kids means worrying, trying not to worry, realizing you are still worrying, saying a prayer, a giant prayer for it all, and then repeating this for the rest of your life. Now, I'm sure all of you moms know what it's like to worry about your children. You want what's best for them and you want them to make wise choices for your lives. And we often use the term worry to express concern for ourselves or for other people's. And you moms love your children. You want to make sure everything in their life is good. And as they face various situations, you're concerned about that. And it's that concern that we maybe sometimes say as worry that motivates you as moms to do everything in your power to help your children to grow up, mature, and to live a rewarding, fulfilling life and support them in the plan that God has for them. And worrying in that sense, we might say, is a good thing. It's a good motivation. It shows our care. But worry is not always a good thing. I think we all understand that. Most of the time, actually, it's very destructive, isn't it? Worry is very destructive. Because when we think of worry, we most often refer to that sense of mental distress or maybe anxiety about problems or unpleasant situations that might possibly happen outside of our control. And I'm sure you moms have worried about the choices your children have made or are making, because it's outside of your control and you want what's best, and it's not always easy to sit back and watch choices that your children are making. We all know that we're guilty of worrying about things in our own lives because there's so many things that are outside of our control. There's potential threats to our well-being. There's our needs that we maybe worry about, whether they'll be met, or maybe there's an uncertain future. Maybe we're worried about consequences of our choices. How are things going to turn out? You know, this kind of worry, though, it robs us of the very things in life that God wants to bless us with, like peace and joy, contentment, those things that God wants us to experience. Worry causes all kinds of destructive things in our lives, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or even spiritual harm. Worry is not a good thing when we think about it in that sense. And as we continue in our study of Luke, Jesus is going to address this destructive response of worry that all human beings are plagued with. It's a natural response to things outside of our control, things that we are afraid of are going to happen. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And what we will see in Jesus' discussion of worry is that he gives us four choices we need to make in order to overcome worry in our lives. Now, in your heart of hearts, wouldn't you like to be free of worry and that it wouldn't plague you, some of us more than others? Well, Jesus is going to make it real simple for us this morning. Four choices that if we will make them, it will help us to overcome worry. And I want you to ask yourself, as we look at these, what Jesus has to teach us about overcoming worry is, if am I guilty of not doing those things? Am I doing the opposite? And is that why maybe there's worry in my life? And I'm going to address this to all of us, but moms, I know this is a special area that plagues moms and worrying for kids. So I just encourage all of us to really listen to what Jesus has to say. So let's turn to Luke chapter 12. As we continue our study, four choices to help us overcome worry. The first choice we have to make is, if we want to overcome worry, is to focus on the spiritual and not the physical. We need to focus on the spiritual and not the physical. And what we see here is Jesus is going to command us not to worry about our physical needs. Luke 12, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Now, remember last week, where we left off in Luke, Jesus had told a parable about this rich farmer, this foolish farmer who had a bumper crop, and his only concern was how he could store it all up. So he said, "I'm going to tear down my old barns and build bigger ones to store it." And he was laying up his treasures on earth rather than in heaven. And remember, God said of him, "You fool, tonight your life is required of you." God took his life, that life in that night in the parable. And so Jesus, knowing his audience and caring about them, realized that, you know, for them to think all I'm supposed to do is lay up my treasures in heaven and not on earth, does that mean that Jesus wants me to just get rid of everything I have and live a life of poverty? Well, Jesus wants to assure them that's not what his purpose is. He wants them to know that he will provide for them. And so when Jesus continues, "For this reason," he's basing it, what his comments are, on that idea that he had just talked about there. And so he commands us not to worry about our food and clothes here. Now, worry, the term for worry here, refers to the mind being distracted or torn apart. That's the idea of the word worry. In other words, focusing on the wrong things. Focusing on the wrong things, that's the essence of worry. And the tense of Jesus' command, "Do not worry," here indicates this is a continually applicable command, which it should always be doing this. In other words, in this case, should be never worry about things, continuing to not worry about things that we face in our lives. Food and clothes that he references here represent just our basic physical necessities. I mean, that if you if you boil everything down to what are the basic things we need, food and clothes are right there at the very basis of our needs. And we're constantly reminded of them because every day we have to satisfy those needs in our life. So Jesus says we shouldn't be distracted by our physical needs from what really matters. The focus of our lives should not be on the physical, but on the spiritual. We should be living to please God. That's why it says life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Think about our life, our spiritual life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our spiritual life is what we are to focus on. In other words, living for Christ. That should be our priority, our primary focus, not our physical life, but our spiritual life. In Philippians 1:20, Paul there said, for to me to live is Christ. So when Jesus says your life is more than food, he's saying, think about the spiritual. We are to live Christ-like lives. That should be our focus where we are living our lives. And then he says your body as well is not to be the primary focus from a spiritual perspective. The focus of our body should be to use it to serve God. We think of our body and keeping it clothed and feeding it and all that. Jesus says life is more than that. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. What does he say then? Therefore, what are we to do? Glorify God in your body. When Jesus says your body is more than just what you're going to put on it, here Paul makes it so clear, we are to glorify God with our body. Since our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, yes, we take care of them and we do everything to keep healthy and strong, but our focus should be on serving God, using our bodies for God's glory. So if our focus is on the spiritual, we will be so preoccupied with living for God, in serving Him, bringing glory for Him, that the physical will fade away as far as something to worry about. Does that make sense? If we're so focused on God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my body? Instead of being worried, am I going to have everything I need? Jesus says, focus on God. Focus on using your body to serve Him and live to glorify Him. So to overcome worry, we need to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. So ask yourself this morning, right now in my life, where is my focus? Am I focusing on the spiritual or am I focusing on the physical? Well, if you're dealing with worry in some area, maybe that answers your question. You have to make the choice to overcome worry, focus on the spiritual. A second choice that Jesus says we need to make to overcome worry is we need to trust God and not ourselves. Trust God and not ourselves. And the reason we can do that, Jesus goes on to encourage us that God is going to provide our physical needs. He gives three reasons we need to trust God and not ourselves as we go on here. First of all, we can trust that God loves us and cares for us. Notice what he says in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? So Jesus says, the ravens, and that would have been a familiar bird to them. A raven is a scavenger. It eats food, you know, it doesn't do anything to prepare its own food, or it just eats dead carcasses. He says, God provides for them. People despise the ravens, but yet God cared about them. God saw them. He knew they were part of his creation, and so he provided their food for them. And Jesus said, well, if God cares about these insignificant, you know, dirty birds, how much more valuable are you than them? The point is, God cares for them. He cares much more for people who he created in his image. We are much more valuable than these worthless scavenger birds. And even more, we know that God loves us and sent Jesus to be our Savior. It's not that he just loves us as part of his creation. We are the preeminent creation in God's world, but he loved us so much that he provided salvation so that we could not just be his creatures, but have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with God. And if you think about that, God loves us and cares about us enough to provide salvation, our most desperate need. Well, how easy is it for him to provide everything else? Those things that we tend to worry about. You see, we have no reason to worry because we can trust God to provide our physical needs. He loves us. He cares about us. Well, a second reason we need to trust God and not ourselves to provide our needs is we can't accomplish anything by worrying. It's worthless to worry. Verse 25, Jesus continues, "And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If you then cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" Jesus asks us to consider, does worrying ever accomplish anything? Ask yourself, what does my worrying get me? Does it ever accomplish anything positive? Now, it might alert us to something we need to address, but the worrying itself is so destructive. It only causes us more distress because we realize it's out of my control. I don't know what to do about it. I can't make anything change. In fact, isn't it true in our lives? Statistics show this, and I know we know in our own lives, most of the things we worry about, do they ever happen? We worry about things that might happen. When God says, trust me, don't trust yourself. Don't think, I've got to handle this. I've got to deal with it. You know, I ride an exercise bike, and I think of worry like an exercise bike. It'll wear you out, but it won't get you anywhere. You're still in the same place. And worry actually makes it even worse. We worry because we're trusting ourselves to handle actual or even potential situations that we know we can't do anything about. So Jesus says, why worry? Why worry? Trust me, not yourself. Third reason we need to trust God and not ourselves to provide our needs is we can trust that God wants what is best for us. He wants what is best for us. Jesus continues, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? So Jesus points out now to these wildflowers that the people would have been familiar with, that would adorn the countryside. And he says, God beautifully created all these wildflowers with beauty. It's unmatched by man. Only God could create that. Wildfires bloomed brilliantly one day, and the next day they dried up and they were collected and used for fuel, for burning, for cooking, and various things. And God says, or Jesus says, you know, God's responsible for creating this beauty. It's not like they just exist and have life, but he beautifies them. He says, and God cares so much more about you. And Jesus said, remember Solomon, he was the richest man to ever live. He could have done anything he wanted, had all the resources at his disposal, and he could not create anything more beautiful than the wildflowers. Jesus says, think about it. Think about it. God, your creator, he created these beautiful flowers, but he cares so much more about you. Jesus reveals that God created us in his image, and He cares so much more about us than these wildflowers. And if he can make them so beautiful that they stand out, well, he will do the same in our lives. He will always not just give us what we need to get by. He'll give us what is best for us because he knows what is best for us. He created us in his image, so he knows what we need. And Jesus is speaking of looking at these wildflowers and saying, how much more does God care about you? He will give you what is best for you. We're trusting ourselves when we worry, because worry reveals that we're not trusting God to provide for us, to provide what is best for us. And Jesus, you notice how he talked to the people there and said, you of little faith. You see, when we trust ourselves, we're not putting our faith in God, we're putting our faith in ourselves. And Jesus says, worry, what is it going to accomplish? Trust me, don't trust yourself. We have no reason to worry because we can trust God. He'll provide our physical needs out of his desire to do what is best for us. So to overcome worry, Jesus says, we need to trust God and not ourselves. So who are you trusting? Who are you trusting in your life? Are you trusting God or are you trusting yourself? Jesus says we need to make the choice. If we want to have freedom from worry, overcome worry in our lives, we need to trust him and not ourselves. There's a third choice that Jesus says we need to make. If we want to overcome worry, we need to put God first and not the world. Put God first and not the world. Jesus goes on to command us to pursue the things of his kingdom, not the things of the world. And Jesus tells us that when we worry about our physical needs, we're acting like unbelievers, people in the world, as he says in verse 29. And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. Even though we know we should focus on the spiritual, not the physical, we should trust God and not ourselves, we have to admit we're still prone to worry, aren't we? We're still prone to think that we're in control or to worry that we're not in control. Because we are self-centered. It's our nature as human beings, fallen, sinful human beings. That's what the world is like. So we are sinners and we tend to put what the world says. Jesus explains it's natural for the nations of the world. That's the unbelievers. It's natural for them to worry about their needs because they don't have a relationship with God as their heavenly Father. He says in verse 30, all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. If the world influences us to put ourselves first and seek to satisfy our selfish desires with the things of the world, then who are we trusting? Who are we putting first? We're putting the world first. You see, the world deceives us into trusting what the world offers to have our needs met. But we know that God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants what's best for us. And he desires to bless us with everything we need to live for him and serve him. So that's why Jesus says we need to put God first, not the world. In Philippians 4:19, we have this awesome promise. God says, I will provide all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God promises to give us everything we need. You see, we have no reason to worry because God is our loving Heavenly Father. We have a relationship with God. We're his children. All people are his creatures, created in his image, more valuable than anything else. But we as his children who have been adopted into his family through faith in Jesus have that special relationship with him. And Jesus encourages us that when we seek to please him as our Father, he'll provide everything else we need to do that. Verse 31, he continues, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Instead of pursuing our needs first, like the world tells us to do, put yourself first. Look out for number one, and then if you have time or energy or resources, help others. Instead of doing that, Jesus says, put God's kingdom first. Seek God's kingdom first. Don't rely on what the world offers, but rely on what God promises to provide. We seek God's kingdom first by responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to obey what God has revealed to us in His Word. To put His kingdom first is to seek to live for Him in obedience to Him. Jesus is our King. We are loyal subjects to Him, and we desire to live for Him. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. God's Word tells us how to do that. And we put His kingdom first by doing that. And then we consistently serve Him and seek to bring glory and honor to Him. Jesus emphasizes that we don't need to fear or worry. I love the way He says, do not be afraid, little flock. How tenderly Jesus is addressing His followers, His disciples, those who believe in Him. As a loving shepherd, God cares about every need, just like a shepherd cares for the needs of the flock. Otherwise, they won't survive. But Jesus says, we have a tender, loving shepherd. He's our Father. Both those images help us to realize how much God cares about us and how much He will provide for us if we will just put Him first. When we put God's kingdom first, we have no reason to worry. But when we put the world first and seek our advice and our guidance and our resources from the world, we have every reason to worry. So again, I encourage you to ask yourself, who are you putting first in your life? Are you putting God first, or are you putting the world first? Well, is worry consuming your life? Well, maybe here's an area where you need to address. If Jesus says, choose to put God first in your life if you want to overcome worry. And then a fourth choice that Jesus gives us to overcome worry is we need to be generous, not greedy. And this comes full circle. He's starting out by saying, you're worried about having everything you need. You need to seek the spiritual, not the physical. You need to trust God, not yourselves. You need to put God first, not the world. And now full circle back to our needs, He says, be generous, not greedy. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus says, instead of worrying that we will have enough possessions to meet our physical needs, He says to sell our possessions and help meet the needs of other people. Now, if that doesn't cause you to worry or raise your awareness, like, well, wait, how can I do that? If I'm worrying about not having enough, Jesus says, well, sell what you have and give it to the poor. How does that help us not to worry? Jesus is in ordering here again that we live in poverty and be destitute. But He is saying that when we focus on the spiritual, when we trust God and when we put God first, God will provide much more than we need. And we'll have an abundance. We'll have enough that then we can share with other people. You see, this is the way God works. That's not the way the world works. That's not the way we envision things working. But this is how God works. And that's what Jesus keeps driving us toward, trusting God and finding in Him that He will provide everything. In other words, when we love God more than anything else, we're seeking His kingdom first, He will enable us to love others as ourselves. And He'll provide what we need to be able to do that. See, that's what the essence is of seeking God's kingdom. Loving God most, serving others, loving others like ourselves. And how do we do that? We serve God by serving other people. Jesus says, when we are generous with what God provides for us, we'll be storing up treasure in heaven, in heavenly wallets. He refers to money belts. will store up our treasure in heaven instead of on earth. The parable he told about the foolish farmer who had a bumper crop illustrates that you're not in control of everything what you have. If you're laying up your treasure on earth, it could be taken away, or your life could be taken away. So that's why he says, lay up your treasures in heaven. You see, we don't have to worry about our heavenly treasures dwindling down or being stolen, because they're in God's possession. We're treasuring them in a secure place. We will be using our possessions to bring glory to God as we share with others what God has blessed us with. Be generous, not greedy. Jesus explained that our attitude toward our possessions reveals where our heart is. It reveals what our values are, what our priorities are, what's most important to us. As he said in verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to know where your heart is? Then where's my treasure? What do I value most? What's most important to me? It's our human nature to treasure the things that we think we need to enjoy life, like our physical possessions, material things. That's normal. That's natural for us as selfish, sinful people. And if our heart is fixed on our physical possessions, we're naturally going to worry. It just comes with it. Will we have enough? Will we be able to keep what we have? You see, our heart is filled with greed. If our treasure is on earth, then it's greed that is controlling us. You see, it requires God's transformation for our treasure to be the things that we can use to serve God and other people. God has to change our heart. And that's what he does when we place our faith in Jesus. As we saw, we're new creatures in Christ, and we have that ability then to act in a different way. God helps us to see our physical possessions as his blessings when we view them as treasures in heaven. So if our heart is fixed on serving and honoring God, we'll view our possessions as entrusted to us by God to serve other people. Our hearts will be filled with generosity. Greed, our hearts are filled with selfish desires. Generosity, our hearts are filled with how can we serve God? How can we serve him by serving other people? You see, every one of us has treasure we're storing up. We all have treasure, different things that are a treasure. We're either storing it up in heaven or on earth. You see, our treasure reveals, what we treasure reveals where our heart is. As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure is on earth, we're focusing on the physical, we're trusting God, we're putting the world first, our hearts will be filled with greed. We'll naturally worry about what we think we need. But if our treasure is in heaven, we're focusing on the spiritual, we're trusting God, we're putting God first, then our hearts will be filled with generosity. Because we know God is going to provide, and we have more that we can share with others. You see, we have no reason to worry about having everything we need, because God will provide. To overcome worry, we need to be generous, not greedy. So again, evaluate, where is your heart? Where is your treasure? Is it filled with greed, or is it filled with generosity? Jesus says we need to choose to fill our hearts with generosity if we want to overcome worry. We're all prone to worry about things that are out of our control, things we can't change, things that are going on, things that might happen. We know how worry can enslave us. And again, thinking of moms, just thinking of people who are just overwhelmed with what their kids are doing and their love and concern for them, how they can become a source of worry that what is going to happen in their lives, things you can't even control. I encourage us, each one of us, as we think about worry, don't let worry rob you of the joy, the peace, the contentment that God will give you when you acknowledge that he is in control and he wants more than you, thinking of your mom, you as moms. God wants more for your children than even you do. So you don't have to worry that he wants anything less. He wants more for them. So again, if your focus is on Him, He will enable you to be those kind of moms that will encourage them. Let's all take Jesus' instructions on overcoming worry to heart this morning. We all deal with it. We all struggle with it from time to time, some more than others, but it's a part of living in a sinful world. Jesus says, if you want to overcome worry, choose to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. If you want to overcome worry, choose to trust God, not yourselves. If you want to overcome worry, choose to put God first, not the world. And if you want to overcome worry, choose to be generous, not greedy. Father, thank you for Jesus' instructions. How powerful and relevant that is to us in our daily lives. Because, Lord, we all know what worry is. We all deal with it. It paralyzes us. It overwhelms us. Lord, when we are trying to control things and when we are trying to provide the things that we need, we just know how worry can affect us and how it can affect our relationship with other people. And Father, Jesus has made it so clear that we don't have to worry. We have an awesome God, a Heavenly Father, who is involved in our lives and cares about us. And we can look to you and know that you will always be faithful.